Barr.
Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Carlos from San Diego.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Carlos. Kind of feels like it should be saying, you know, not guilty, Your Honor, sitting up here. Or my favorite, guilty with an explanation. We always have an explanation for something. What a great time to be here. 85 years of recovery we're celebrating tonight. That tells you how this thing works. And I want to thank Felix for asking me to speak tonight. And it wasn't always like that for me. Down towards the end of my drinking career, nobody ever wanted to hear what I had to say, even though I told them this is right. They would roll their eyes at me or just kind of walk away. So it's really good to be here tonight. I was that tornado the book talks about. I just roared through their family and friends, and just I was a liar, a cheat, a thief, and I did a lot of damage to my family. And where my addiction and my alcoholism took me was down in these pits of despair. I had this plan after I had already burned everybody, and people would let me sleep on their couches, and family members were taking me in, but I would steal from them. And so I burned everybody in San Diego. So my great plan, great plan was, my grandparents had some land down in Mexico City. So I was going to go to Mexico City and I was going to farm and live off the land. So I went around to all the people that owed me and to get some money so I can get down there. And so $50 later, I crossed the border and didn't make it past 10 miles past the border. And I got stuck down there for 2 years. And I did the same thing that I did here, I started doing over there. And when I would speak Spanish, you can tell I'm not from there. And how I got over that is because they're asking me, you speak English, why are you living here? Well, it was easier to make them understand that I killed somebody here. I did something really bad here that to let them know that, I just can't stop drinking. That when I use drugs or anything of that, something happens in my life and I just can't get my crap together. It was easier for me to tell them I was a criminal and I was cool with that, that's how I managed to stick around with a lot of people down there. And, I know that there's a God, because the stuff that I was doing here and over there, especially down there, I should be dead. I should be dead or locked up for the stuff that I was doing down there. And what happened is that there was a lot of people in and out of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that got me here. I don't know why I'm so nervous. I'm only speaking for 10 minutes. five minutes. What happened is one of my mom's best friends that she grew up with, her family went through somebody that had alcoholism, and they went through a treatment facility. So we call her aunt, even though she's not related, but she's always been our aunt to us. And she came down here and told everybody in our family not to let me back in there. Because I would come across to get whatever I needed, and I would go back. And I would put on the sad puppy eyes to my mom, and life is terrible. And they would let me back in the house, and I would do the same crap, and I would run back across the border. And so they told them about not enabling me anymore. And I got sober by January, and let me tell you, there was times I slept on the streets in TJ, and it was freaking cold. There were some times that I was sleeping in abandoned trailers, and I swear, I just wanted to die. And I really went down there. So I think I really went down there to die. I just didn't want to live anymore. I didn't know how not to drink and be still be able to live. And it was so funny to me now, because I'm thinking about, I have to give this up. My life's going to be out of control, and I was living in a shack, and it was half of it was I was working for this one guy painting these wrought iron fences, and half of it was the storage for the equipment, and the other half was a bed, and it's where I would sleep, and I was wondering, how can I give this up? Because they told me, you need they gave an ultimatum. We're not going to help you anymore unless you go into a recovery program. And I'm thinking, you know, shack or roof over my head. And so what ended up happening is I got to a recovery program, and it kind of tricked me because, I don't know if we're not about to say this, but there was a list, and one of them said crash, and I just needed a crash somewhere. So I went to the retreat facility, and it wasn't like that at all, man. It was like, it just fed me recovery, you know what? And that's what I needed. And God bless to those. And I want to welcome the newcomer, Dennis. Thank you for being here. The people that come into Alcoholics Anonymous and be able to come to a meeting and get this, because I had to be spoon-fed recovery. I had to be spoon-fed the first step. And in that, they taught me how to take a bath, how to dress, how to make up my bed, how to look for a job. And I started going to meetings. And I went to one of the first A meetings because I needed a sponsor for me to get out of the recovery home. And I didn't ask for a sponsor. He came up to me and gave me his card because it looks like you need a sponsor. And he took me through the first time through my steps. And I owe that man a great deal of gratitude because he saved my life. Because in working the steps with him, I found out a lot of these spiritual principles. I found out about a lot of stuff about myself. And I was doing it because you guys told me I had to do them. But when I did the fourth step and the fifth with him, and after we were done, you know, I was expecting the skies to part, the angels to come on singing. But that didn't happen. But what happened to me the next morning, a few days after, that I wasn't carrying all this crap that I've been carrying with me all my life. I was able to get let go of these resentments, because what was happening was I was reliving a lot of those situations. And when I really found a lot of this is getting through the 12 steps, having a spiritual awakening. You know, it talks about the spiritual awakening, and it's in the book talks about a spiritual condition in order to spiritual change in order to you know, for recovery. And what I found out is that I had a psychic change, that when things happened in my life, really bad stuff, there was death, there was a lot of problems that happened as my recovery, is that what I didn't do is that I didn't want to drink. And the first place I went to was not the liquor store, was to a meeting. And the first person I called was my sponsor, not to my connect. And when I realized that I had this psychic change, I can see that was what I needed, was these steps. And I've been having an opportunity to work steps with a couple guys, and they you know, what they've done to my recovery is beyond, you know, beyond gratitude. I know we're not supposed to mention any names. I did want to mention it because they each want to give me $20 to mention their names, but everybody along the way has helped me get to where I'm at. And where I'm at is that you know, because my new sponsor, my other sponsor hadn't moved away, him and his wife have taught us, my wife and I, how to be parents. You know, we're parents for the first time. We have a little girl that's going to be 2 years old. And, you know, oh, what a joy that is. And, you know, my wife and my little girl have shown me this unconditional love. And what has happened because of the steps, because of the program, because of meetings like this where I hear spirit, strength, and hope, and because of the retreats that I go to, and because of the service that I've done, all this stuff has opened up my heart. You know, there was so much darkness in my heart that all this has been, you know, day by day. It's not all gone, but I'm working on it. What has that allowed me to do is it's allowed me to love another human being without any reservations. And to have this little girl touch my heart like nothing else, you know. I'm in my middle 40s, and I have a 2-year-old running around the house. And you know what? I never thought that I'd be so happy waking up changing diapers. And singing Tinkle Tinkle Little Star, and you know, and this is my second year of having, you know, I came from a broken family. We never had the same mom and dad under the same roof, and for this is the second year that I wasn't able to provide a house for my little girl another sober Christmas under one roof together, and that's all I ever wanted. That's what I really wanted. And one last thing, am I close? Am I real close? Is that You know, it was that 8-year-old boy that was lost somewhere inside that was hurting, that a lot of stuff happened to. And through the steps, I found out, you know, I had to clean up a lot of wrecks from my past. And to find out that, you know, I was this tough guy living down in the streets of TJ, but I was really a scared little boy. I was a little 8-year-old boy that was just really scared. And every Christmas when I was, you know, when I was growing up, you know, with my mixed families, I always got the underwears and socks. And, you know, and I resented that, and I was like, oh, forget that. And this year, I got something I really wanted since I was a kid. And that is a Speed Racer car, the Mach 5. It's the best gift ever. And I want to thank the fellowship for giving, you know, because God speaks through me through you, and for your spiritual strength and hope, I get in meetings that touch me. And what this has allowed me to do is to have this relationship with this higher power that I never thought it was possible. And because through Him, everything is possible. My sponsor was seek the kingdom of God, and that's what I do today. That's the most important thing for me is this relationship that I have with the higher power. And that's what keeps me going. And I know I have to keep doing it because that's what allows me to be a dad. Thank you.